Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, live from the Fort Jackson Golf Club here in Columbia, South Carolina, on the outskirts of Columbia, that is. And Diesel, one of the things that was not much of a topic of conversation here at Fort Jackson in the George Rogers Gala was this Osterine thing at Clemson. Because, number one, all these football players, I don't think, want to comment on things that may or may not happen with other football programs because they've seen it all before. But most of the football players that I talked to realize Clemson can't comment on this. I don't care what Gene Sapikoff of the Charleston Post and Courier may want. I don't care what fans may want. You can't comment on it, and here's why. I wish some people would do some education. It is called FERPA, and it took place in 1974. FERPA. It is the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. FERPA, again, has been around since 1974.
I thought that's what we used to call Furman back in the day. We called their color purple.
Yep. All right. Let me give you an idea of how serious FERPA, the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act of 1974, is, okay? I have a friend that works at a university. She has access to all the student schedules at that university, all right? Every single person that's registered in school, she has access due to her job of what their class schedules are. So let's say little Billy, all right, his dad's paying for his education and he's a freshman at university or whatever, okay? His dad calls up said institution, writing all the checks for the tuition, and says, hey, I want to get a copy of my son's schedule. She can't give it to the father that pays the tuition because of privacy acts. So think about it from this end. There's no choice here. People can call for it all they want. FERPA rules the day here. Under the law, they cannot give out that information no matter how many checks you write. So education would go a long way toward helping people who are angry about this whole thing because they're getting angry about something that is out of their control. And I just don't know how much more simple it can be. Throw them under the bus if you want to. That is your right, okay? But just realize they are in a boxed-in situation due to a law that has been on the books since 1974. And listen, and do you realize how upset that I would be if I called up Belmont or wherever Leslie Brooke goes in a couple of years is paying tuition and said, I just want to make sure that she's taking what she and could not be given access to it? I mean, what's the harm in that? Well, according to the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act of 1974, I couldn't get that information. So guess what? Gene Sapikoff, they're not getting that information either. So you can go out there, stomp your feet, raise your hands, whatever you want to do, but you're not going to get anything. And that's the bottom line to it, and I wish some people would look up what it's all about. That's bottom line. It's non-negotiable. This is a no-win situation for Clemson because they can't comment. So I'm not defending them. I'm just saying this law. So go outside, get upset, go stomp your feet, pout and everything else, Carolina fan. But the football players here at the George Rogers Tournament weren't touching that conversation with a 10-foot pole. Interesting, no doubt about it. So, the Atlanta Braves, Diesel, I am a Braves fan. And, oh, my goodness, look what's happening now. If the Braves can get some bullpen help here over the next 40 games, they're going to run away with the National League East. Now, the thing is, Diesel, what goes up must come down. You know what I mean? What goes up? Talking about you go on a hot streak, sooner or later, things are going to get caught up, and you're going to have a down streak. But the Braves are playing right now. Think about this. May 29th. Today is June 24th. May 29th, 27 days ago, roughly 4 weeks. Tomorrow will be 4 weeks. The Phillies on May 29th had a 3.5 game lead over the Atlanta Braves. They had a 6-game lead over the Mets, a 9.5 game lead on the Nationals, and a 13 game lead on the Florida Marlins. Entering tonight's contest on June 24th, the Braves have a 6.5 game lead on the Phillies, 8.5 on the Nationals, 9 games on the Mets, and 15 on the Marlins. I mean, you stop and think, from May 30th to June 23rd, the Braves are 16-6. And that is the best record in the National League East by far. The Nationals are actually second at 13-8. The Phillies, over the last 27 days, 6-16. Went from a 3.5 game lead to a 6.5 game deficit. And I tell you what, it's fun. Sports is fun. Work is fun when you know you're being successful, Diesel. And right now, you know, sometimes I start to think as a Bama guy, and you can toot your – go ahead, blow the elephant's horn if you feel like you need to, but I'm actually going to be critical. Everybody talks about Nick Saban being this little Napoleonic complex, and I get it because I'm short. I was just beating you to the short joke there, Diesel. But at times it almost looks like Bama doesn't have a lot of fun at what they do when it comes to being on the football field. Is that a fair assessment, Deez? Because, again, I go back and I look at then you go look at Clemson, and it's all about the fun. Yet they're both having the same track record of success. That's the thing I'm getting to with the Atlanta Braves right now. You look at this team. They're having fun. Now, I get the old saying that the fun is in the winning. But they're having fun. And every day that you're having fun at what you do, when you show up at work, when you show up at the ballpark, listen, man, that makes playing the game that much better. You know what I mean? And it's going to be interesting. But now, what the Braves still got one situation they got to deal with right now, and that is the bullpen. But the thing is I love everybody on Twitter. You know, the thing is we have, 31 Major League Baseball franchises in the in Major League. But we have 5 million, chief of operations on Twitter that know better. Listen, the Braves are very well aware that they need some bullpen help. But guess what? There's other teams in the league that need bullpen help as well. So tonight at 8:05, the Braves get back at it. They're on the road at the Chicago Cubs. And, maybe you get now with Dallas Keuchel coming and joining the progress. Maybe you actually get a little time to think about, is there somebody that I can move around into that spot? Because everybody's been calling for Craig Kimbrell. Go get Craig Kimbrell. Now he's signed with the Cubs, but he's still roughly 6 weeks away from appearing in a major league game. So everybody that wanted Craig Kimbrell would not be getting him right now because he's not ready. So maybe with this Dallas Keuchel addition, maybe that gives you enough time to take a look at some things and figure out maybe you have somebody here that you can move into that role for the time being. But, the Braves at the Chicago Cubs tonight. That's an 8:05 start. And, of course, the Cubs are leading their division, the National League Central, by 0.5 game over the Milwaukee Brewers, 2 games over St. Louis, and now 5.5 over both Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. And don't look now, playing some of the better baseball, even though they've lost 2 games. Cincinnati's been on a pretty nice run to get within 5.5 back of the Chicago Cubs. Again, in the East, we told you the Braves up 6.5 on Philadelphia, 8.5 on Washington, 9 games on the Mets, who, by the way, they had a team meeting and then a disaster when all was said and done. The L.A. Dodgers lead the National League West by 13 games. That's all you need to know. I mean, you think about it. Colorado, 3 games above 500, yet 13 games back. So the two wild cards, if you will, in the National League right now would be the Milwaukee Brewers as well as a tie between St. Louis and Colorado. You go look at the American League standings right now. I mean, the Yankees. I am no Yankees fan. They've won 8 out of their last 10 games, but good God, they've done it with the attrition. I mean, I'm not sure there's been a more injured ball club than the New York Yankees, but they get Aaron Judge back last week, and now the Yankees have opened up a 4.5 game lead on Tampa Bay, 8 games on Boston. Toronto and Baltimore more than 20 games back, and we're not even at the All-Star break. Also, the AL Central, Minnesota owns a 8 game lead on Cleveland, 13 on the Chicago White Sox, and then finally out west, tightening a bit, if you will, Houston's lead over the Texas Rangers is down to 6.5 game. Oakland is now 8 games back. So when you go look at the the wild cards in the American League right now, that would be Tampa Bay, and that would be Texas, tied with the Cleveland Indians and Boston as well. So we will have some pretty good jockeying and positioning for these upcoming playoff bursts. But that's the thing about baseball. The season's too long, Diesel. We can already tell you who's not going to be in the playoffs, and we're not even to the halfway point of the season. Would you not think baseball would be much better off in this time and day, cutting maybe 20, 30 games out of the schedule? Because baseball might be the most traditional game out there, D's, but the season's too long. I can't keep up with it over 162 games.
For a fan, yes, that's the right play. That's the right thing to do, make the season shorter, make the intrigue go up because each game matters a little bit more. But if you are an owner of a team, hell no, you don't want to reduce the number of games because you reduce the number of opportunities you have to make money.
All right, so the outside benefit of that would be then you maybe don't have to play the pay the players as much because they aren't playing in 162 games. They're playing in 132
games. You think that they're
going
to be able to not pay the players as much? Don't you know that they have a union? It's the entire point is to not let the ownership jockey them around like that?
But in the long run, that's where I think we got to see where the battle lines lie in the future. And the NFL bargaining coming up is going to be interesting. But you got to – players are concerned with themselves and how much money they can get. Owners are concerned with other things. But when it comes to the health and the success of the game itself, somehow the union and ownership have to get on the same page because – I'm just afraid. I mean, I watched it out here today at the golf course. It used to be back in the day, you love coming out to this stuff. Now everybody's like, dude, I don't have 5.5 hours to be out here. So everything we do in life right now is sort of a microcosm of what we do with our telephones, which is make things quicker. You know what I mean? And I just wonder if 162 games in the long run is going to be too much. We don't have that attention span. But we'll take your phone calls on that. Should Major League Baseball at some point, because I go back to, what was it, 5 years ago after the NBA had their strike, that they did not start the season until Christmas Eve, I believe. Maybe it was even Christmas Day. And they cut 16 games out of their schedule, and it was a little bit quicker paced. And to me, that was the best season of NBA basketball we've ever had. All right, we'll take your opinions, but bring it to us straight up. 844-GSP-ESPN. We have a conspiracy in baseball, though, Diesel. Home runs are flying out of the park left and right. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, gave us the most BS excuse for it the other day that we've ever heard.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So Major League Baseball, you know, home runs are flying out at a pace that is unbelievable, Diesel. And you know what? We were talking about should Major League Baseball drop about 30 games off 162 game schedule. I think it would shorten the attention span in a time and age that we want to be entertained. All right? And by that, I mean one of the reasons that Major League Baseballs are flying out from stadiums all over the country at an alarming rate is, Diesel, we're back to, what, 12 to 15 years ago. Do you remember the campaign that Major League Baseball ran that today would probably be considered sexist? But there was one particular phrase they used over and over again.
Chicks dig the long ball.
You got it. You got it. Guess what? That's where we're back at here this year.
I don't know that that would be I don't know that that would be offensive anymore. Now if it was chicks dig big bats, that might be offensive because clearly baseball bat has a phallic shape.
Okay, well, mine just, you would have to almost in this day and age go, women dig the long ball, females, but chicks is, I don't know, and we're not going down that route. But my point being, home runs is instant gratification, correct? Is that not what we want in life when it comes to our sports and everything else? So one of the reasons, I guess my point is in this, one of the reasons that home run numbers are up is guys are swinging for the fences. I mean, they go up there with the intention. They swing harder with a bigger upswing angle. Most guys can't pitch in today's world like they did 20 years ago by, nibbling at the corners and off speed. What do we, same thing kind of taking place in pitching, which is power pitching. So if guys are swinging harder with a bigger upswing angle and they make solid contact, what's going to happen? The ball's going to go further. So that has a lot to do with it right there, is the fact that we don't play a lot of situational baseball now. Try to move the runner. It's go up there and hit. Why should I have to put four hits together to score two runs if so-and-so can step in and jack a two-run homer? So I think that attitude really permeates Major League Baseball now. The other thing, Rob Manfred, I'm not exactly sure what – first of all, I do like Rob Manfred a whole lot better than I like Adam Silver when it comes to football commissioners of their chosen sport. Adam Silver, to me, has let the NBA get away from being a league and is now is a league of identities. I mean, we're going to talk about Kevin Durant in a little bit and who he's mad at. But I do think Rob Manfred has done a pretty good job with Major League Baseball. But let me ask you, first of all, I did not realize – Major League Baseball bought Rawlings. You know that company, D's, Rawlings. They make baseball gloves. They make baseballs for Major League Baseball. Rawlings has been the baseball provider for MLB since 1974, so 45 years. So much did they become a fabric of Major League Baseball that they bought the company itself. So Major League Baseball now owns the company that provides the baseball for their game. Rob Manfred got up there the other day and sold us on the fact that baseballs are just better now than they've ever been. And one of the reasons that he gave, Diesel, and this is when I go, somebody is feeding you a bunch of garbage and you can't even smell it yourself. He said that the pill, which is the center of the baseball, all right, they have gotten better at getting the pill in the center of the baseball. Said back in the day when it wouldn't be centered, the ball would wobble coming off the bat. So now that they got the pill in there better, that's causing more fluid hits off the bat. First of all, shame on you as a commissioner for passing off the company you own as the problem for your baseballs in the past. How damn difficult is it in even 1980? To get the pill in the center of the baseball correct. We had machines and guidelines back then, did we not? So I'm not buying Rob Manfred saying we're now making a better baseball. I think they're all complicit. I think there are multiple reasons. But the main thing that I hear from some former baseball, hitters are loving it. They're not complaining for anything right now. But even they will quietly tell you it's harder. It's a harder ball than it's been. They have reduced the seams on it. I don't think the pitchers can grip the seams to effectively throw a curveball like they could back in the day. To be a successful pitcher back in the day, you had to have three pitches. you know, a fastball, a changeup, and a slider, a curveball, or something else. Now you're lucky if you get a pitcher that can throw three pitches. So I think there's a whole lot. I think it's sort of societal, Diesel. We're fascinated. We love the payoff of instant gratification. And like I said, it's now about hit home runs and get RBIs than it is playing situational baseball. But number two, I think you've diluted the talent when it comes to the league. Every time you add another team, and now they're talking about adding two, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, all they are is diluting the amount of pitchers in this league, and they are guys at the major league level that, quite frankly, probably should have never been there. So I think there is a huge – I think there is a wide variety of reasons that we are seeing the home runs go on. But as of right now, more runs will be scored per game than in any time since 2007. Four players have a shot to hit 50 home runs this year. That hasn't happened since 2001 when Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Luis Gonzalez, and Alex Rodriguez all did it. So, yes, I do think the ball is juiced, if you will, which main thing is I think the pitchers just can't grip it as well as they used to. I think there are more hitters that are selling out for power. And then number two, I just think that the amount of pitching has been diluted in the league. You would be much better off in the long run probably knocking out a couple of teams than you are adding more, because you go look at the middle country right now, the middle of the country. Dude, whoever in the Tampa Bay Rays franchise that thinks that they're going to get Montreal and St. Pete, Tampa building new stadiums for them, put down the peyote, put down whatever you're smoking, because it ain't going to happen. Because let me tell you something, Diesel. They laugh about 14,000 and change for the St. Pete Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays. Below that at 9,000 and change in a stadium that was just built a couple of years ago are the Miami Marlins. All right, you go look through middle America right now. They're all hurting at the Major League Baseball level. The Detroit Tigers are averaging 19,000 per game. Cleveland, who's been there and had movies made, they right now, their average attendance for home games, 17,000. So it's not just Tampa. Now, Tampa has the worst, by far the worst situation when it comes to stadium. But like I said, go look at Miami. You know, they basically screwed their city, and the previous ownership group of Jeffrey Lurie pretty much lied to everybody in South Florida to get that stadium built, and they still don't show up. They got one of the coolest aquariums that you've ever seen. By that, I mean that thing that goes down the first and third base lines. But, hey, not even a new stadium guarantees attendance. Go look around Major League Baseball at some of the attendance numbers, and it's troubling. Now, it'll pick up, but guess what? They're getting into the hot time of the year as well. You can get in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. Again, Braves up 6.5 games at this point, playing well. We've gone over the juice baseballs. You can give us your opinion on that as well. But when we come back, Diesel has always been fat. You know, Diesel's our group of five guy because of his App State Mountaineer fandom. Some interesting moves going on in college athletics. We have some movement going on with schools and leagues, and we'll tell you why, because it's not about what it's typically all about. But you need to get in with us, 844-GSP-ESPN. Give us a follow on Twitter, at Sturgis Sports, at ESPN Upstate, at Diesel on Radio. Also, our Facebook page, and make sure you go get registered in the locker room at ESPNUpstate.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I weekend. Real quickly before we move on, let's take a look at some of these numbers, Diesel, because what are people complaining about right now? We're not at the halfway point of the baseball season. Coming up on, I think, 77 games, I believe, right now. So 81 would technically be halfway. The number of home runs hit as of last night, nearly 3,200. All right, so you double that with the second half of the season, you're talking 6,400. And the one thing you know is baseballs will start flying as pitchers' arms start tying out. So you're going to be looking at over 6,000 over 6,000 home runs before the year is over. As compared to last year, 5,585. Go back to 2014, 4,186. All right, what year would you guesstimate off the top of your head was it Chicks Dig the Long Ball, Diesel? Early 2000s, maybe?
Something like that.
Okay, you're talking in the 5,000 range. But at some point, baseball became complicit, and here's why. I go back to when I was growing up. I remember there was a player for the Big Red Machine, the Cincinnati Reds, George Foster. Led the National League in home runs in, I think, 76 or 77, 35 home runs. This guy in today's day and age with his size would hit 60. All right, George Foster could mash the ball. But you go back and you look in the mid-70s, we're talking 2,235 home runs for the entire year in 1976, less than 3,000 in 78. 1981, 1,781 home runs. So at some point when TV started to explode, because by 1993 they were over 4,000. So I believe that juice baseball started this a whole thing, and it has continued to go ever since. Those are just some of the numbers, and I found it interesting, no doubt. But we're talking more or less 6,400, 6,500 home runs before this year is over. Diesel, again, we talked about it earlier. You asked me if I caught it this weekend, and I did. It broke Saturday morning. UConn has done something different in college athletics than we've seen here recently in, what, the last 10 to 15 years?
Yeah, UConn seems to be potentially kicking off a new round of conference realignment because of basketball. Are they even allowed to do that? Because football, football is what causes realignment, not basketball.
Unless you look at it that the big the Big East basketball schools kicked the Big East football schools out of the league back in the day. Kept the name, made them change it to the American Athletic Conference, and kept the Big East back. But no, most expansion when it comes to conference has been fueled by football. You're 100% correct. And is it a good thing for UConn on the recruiting trail to more or less go out and admit to all these players, we're the only place that you know of right now that's going to put basketball above football? Because even people would look at you with Duke and go, hey, they've renovated Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. Done a really good job, by the way. They got one of the best coaches in college football with David Cutcliffe. So you can make the argument Duke's putting plenty of money into football, but this to me would ring with high school recruits. Football is secondary at UConn.
Oh, this is going to kill. I mean, UConn football is awful. I think they went 2-10 or 2-11 last year.
1-11.
1-11. So they're as bad as it could possibly be. But you go ahead and tell anybody who's signed up with UConn already, and I honestly don't know who that might be. I really feel like they're probably pulling the local homeless and putting them in uniforms and saying, go out there and give it your best shot, because you still got 4 years of college eligibility left. It's telling anybody who is on their recruiting big board right now, walk away. You know, if the Maine Black Bears are calling, go to Maine, because they're going to be a better football program than what UConn is offering. And it's going to be really interesting to see what's going to happen with this. And as a matter of fact, Sturge, I'm going to put up a full blog on this tomorrow, on the ESPN Upstate website. So you can read my full thoughts on this tomorrow. But it's going to be interesting to find out what UConn is going to do with their football program. They are 12 members in the American Athletic Conference. If UConn leaves, Will they stay as a football-only member in the conference, or will they go independent, or will they possibly look to drop their football back down to an FCS level where they might actually be competitive? I have yet to dig in and look and see if any of the FCS conferences up there could take them, but I feel like that would be their best shot to be competitive if that's their goal.
Competitive, yes, but how do you go back? You know, if you
Idaho's
remember,
done it.
Well, no, but all right, but here, listen to me real quickly. You didn't let me. How can you go back and convince your fan base? You know, about 10 years ago when we were making the move, when we actually represented the Big East in a Fiesta Bowl, we asked y'all to donate a bunch of money so we could build a football facility, Rensselaer Stadium. It holds about 40,000. It's less than a decade old. Boy, is that going to be kicking sand in the face of those guys that contributed a lot of money to get that project off the ground.
Yeah, so this is going to hurt UConn football in three ways. Recruits, they're out the door. Fans, they're out the door. Money, it's out the door. Who knows, man? This is such a bad look for UConn to make this decision. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if they just closed up the whole thing.
That might be, you know, once somebody said, yeah, because there's only if you go look at about 15 to 20 people, 20 universities, maybe that many that actually make money off of football to begin with. You know, football is the black hole, if you will, of cash for an athletic department, because you got so many more people on scholarships, so much more that you have to deal with. So that would be fascinating to see if they drop back. But you know what? Randy Edsall, maybe they were smart. Maybe UConn saw ahead. Said, let's go hire an old coach that we used to have and let him just kill off the program for us. Because they're, 129th out of 130 college football Division I programs, not at the FCS level?
Yeah.
I mean, my God, how excited are you to go to a UConn game? Not because you suck. Is you know you have no future on top of it. To me, that would be like knowing you're sick and given a terminal cancer diagnosis.
Yeah, and if UConn chooses to go independent, they put themselves in a very difficult position there, because scheduling is tough for anybody who's an independent, not named BYU and Notre Dame. God, for God's sakes, I think Liberty and New Mexico State play each other twice this year.
Well, they did last year.
I know this upcoming season they play each other twice again, which means it's that hard, especially on a whim at the last minute, to try to get someone to play you when you're not in a conference. So they put themselves into a really awkward position here. And honestly, I think their best play is probably to drop back down to an FCS level. Call up the guys in Idaho and say, hey, man, how'd you do it? And how did you mitigate and not lose all your fan support and all your donations? How can we do this? Because if they want to get back down and compete and be good, then that's their play. If they want to go independent, that's just kind of leaving their football program out of the vine to wither and die.
All right, so when we come back, Diesel, I want you to think about this during the break. Now there's a slot available in the American Athletic Conference, who a lot of people have said, would that eventually become the Group of Six Conference? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Would they ever add that in, especially with Central Florida having the past 2 years? Who do you think might be some institutions that are interested in that slot in the American Athletic Conference? Because that could affect your league, the Sun Belt, or Conference USA. Give us a call. Give us your opinion on this. 844-GSP-ESPN. Is there any way for UConn football to navigate in the future? All right, welcome back. We're live at Fort Jackson Golf Club. It's pretty quiet in here now, Diesel, and we give way at 6:45 for the College World Series game number one between Michigan and Vanderbilt. So it's a good thing, because I got to be out of here at 6:45 as they shut down. One place you don't want to be caught, I think, Diesel, is a Army installation when they tell you to be gone. That's like when I woke up this morning. You know, I'm not a morning guy, all right, but had to get up and be out here at Fort Jackson by 9:30 and was staying in downtown Columbia last night. On the news while I was getting ready, they had an Air Canada flight this past weekend that wasn't too full, and lady like laid out and fell asleep and woke up many hours later on an empty airplane with no way of getting off of it. That's a bad night. That would be kind of like being caught here on an Army base. But Diesel, we were talking UConn makes the announcement that I think a lot of us were surprised by on Saturday. They are leaving the American Athletic Conference. They are going back to the Big East, which is a basketball and other sports league, no football. So what are they going to do? And Diesel hit the nail on the head. Might they move down to FCS? May they give it up altogether? We've seen the independent thing doesn't work. So how is it going to work up in the eastern part of the country? But Diesel, the American Athletic Conference has had a lot of success the last few years on the football field, starting with Central Florida, but they've had other successes as well. A lot of people have insinuated that they would be the possible conference, if there is conference expansion that goes on, that might be brought in as the Group of Six conference, if you will. So that's going to make that landing spot attractive for some schools. Who all do you think makes a play for it? Because it doesn't mean you have to go do it publicly, but I guarantee you're getting ready to see some ADs and presidents make a private play.
Well, there's about three or four dozen ADs and presidents that are making plays right now. But the question is, what is Mike Oresko's strategy? What does he want? Are they going for markets, which the American Athletic has markets right now? They have Orlando, Tampa, Cincinnati, Houston, Memphis, Dallas, Philadelphia, and New Orleans. Or are they going for on-field success? When you look into some of the markets that have college football programs that are available and potential candidates, you don't see a whole lot of success. There's UAB, who just restarted their program 2 years ago. You have Toledo, Georgia State, and Charlotte. None of those schools outside of UAB have any success. And UAB's success only came because they had some special rules that allowed them to play some players that otherwise would not have been able to play. But if they go for on-field success, this is where it starts getting a little bit interesting. What do they want as far as that goes? Go ahead.
I have a suggestion. I think you got to go for on-field success because, listen, some of those markets you mentioned, Central Florida will always own that Orlando market. Why? Because there's not an NFL team there. But you know as well as I do, South Florida is the afterthought to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa. Even though Cincinnati has been good at times, they're still the afterthought in that market with the Cincinnati Bengals, even though they've tried to fix up Nippert Stadium. All right, so those facilities are usually – I mean, South Florida doesn't even have a facility. They play in the Tampa Stadium, the Buck Stadium. You know, at least Cincinnati does. So, yes, you have some of those markets, but those markets, you're almost the afterthought in that market. So I think you got to go with on-field success and see if a team that is successful can turn into a bigger bully. And I'm not sucking up to you. But I tell you right now, I'd be taking a look if I'm Oresko at your boys App State with Drinkwitz. Because if he can build or at least maintain what Scott Satterfield has done with, what, three consecutive bowl wins and, you know, since moving to Division I, things of that nature, then there's football success. I think App State. Now, again, I'm not sucking up to you. Yeah, there's a huge difference between Charlotte and Boone. But are you ever going to tell me that Charlotte 49er football will ever be as successful as App State?
No, but yeah. So if you're looking at on-field performance and recent success, you have to look at App State. You have to look at Troy. Maybe a Marshall, but I don't think they're as appealing as they once were. So there's not a ton of options as far as on-field success in there, especially one that fits in with what the American Athletic Conference already does. I think the only way, for example, an App State gets in is if East Carolina goes to bat for them in a big way. That gives East Carolina, obviously, one more in-state opponent. That's a good reason for them. Maybe they don't want to recruit against an App State, but Who knows exactly what their specific motivations are going to be. As far as getting somebody like a Troy in there, you know, yes, they're very good, but they're out there on an island.
Mm-hmm. You got to go, and also now that Neil Brown's at Vanderbilt,
right.
I think you got to step back and see how Troy. Now they've been pretty good ever since Larry Blakeney built that program back in the day. Is actually they were D2. My freshman year in college, Troy State University played for the D2 national championship. All right, so
you'd also have to look at maybe a Southern Miss that has a whole lot of heritage, but they're not very good right now. You know,
aren't
you've got a Western Kentucky that has a whole lot of heritage, but they're not very good right now.
See, I thought Southern Miss was in the American, but here's what
I would Conference think. USA.
Okay, here's what I would think would be good for you if East Carolina, when I say you, I mean App State, would ever go to bat for you. Number one, y'all are kind of on opposite ends of a long state there. You know what I mean? Y'all are in the mountains there over toward the Outer Banks, but still a couple hours away from there. Number two, you've talked to me when we've gone out at night. Yeah, we still have that rivalry a little bit with Georgia Southern going back to the SoCon days. You refer to them as the Stank.
We have that rivalry a lot with Georgia Southern.
Right. But could you not seeing a natural rivalry build between y'all and East Carolina if y'all were both in the
Absolutely.
American Athletic Conference?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm not sucking up to you, but I mean it. I would be taking a look with Drinkwitz to see, because App State, you know it as well as I do. It's a football school.
And the thing is, whoever gets this bid, assuming, again, that they come up from a group of four level or a group of five level, is going to astronomically increase their budgets. I mean, Conference USA and Sunbelt schools are pulling in $400,000 a year per school from their media rights deals. American Athletic schools pull in $7 million a year. Imagine adding $6.5 million to your budget overnight.
I could find a way to spend
it.
I mean, that's how you I mean,
that's being able to hold
bit.
On to a coach. That's being able to finally make the stadium expansions that you've always wanted to make. That's transformational for a program.
No doubt. And, you know, some of the same things that we talked about before I went on vacation with Mike Buddy and why he accepted the Army job. He's like, you know, it's just I deal with some of the same limitations I dealt with at Furman, but I look out and I got a 36,000-seat football stadium on the banks of the Hudson River, you know, and everything just took another step up, if you know what I mean. So we'd love your opinion on this. 844-GSP-ESPN. We're live at Fort Jackson Golf Club. Listen, I got a couple of minutes coming up with Gisella Clues. All right, she was our ESPN Upstate food sponsor here at the tournament today, but she's also working with Allen University here in Columbia. They will have their first year in college football, and it's about thinking positive. And she gave us a couple of reasons of why we should do this kind of thing like we do at the George Rogers Tournament and how you might can get in touch with her to talk to your group.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.